Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
It is 8:17. Lirun Mazor, good morning. Save me from myself. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you for asking. Do you do origami?
I don't, but I just want to say I think you're a genius. I'm putting it out there.
What? Why?
I think you are a genius.
Thank you for
saying that. I'm putting it out there.
Okay. Do you want to elaborate or no? We're just moving on to another subject.
You know, 2 minutes ago you said, am I a fool or like, what do people think? So I'm saying, I'm in your corner and I'm saying, I think you're a genius.
Well, thank you. Thank you for saying that. Let's just talk about this other conversation that we really wanted to have, which is an article I came across that spoke about why it's so awkward to lend money to family and friends or to borrow money from family or friends. Is there a lot more to this?
Yeah, so there's a lot to it. It's actually interesting. When you sent me the article, I looked at it and a quote came to mind straight away, and it's a quote by Stephen King. Mm-hmm. And he says, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times, shame on both of us. And why I felt that quote is so relevant is because when it comes to lending money, from a statistical basis, many loans unfortunately don't get paid. And the reason for that is multiple, but if we understand it from a fundamental perspective, the minute I'm coming to you as a family member to ask you for a loan, it puts me sort of in the driver's seat, and that affects our dynamics. But I think that the reason it affects dynamics is because if you're coming to me for a loan, it means you don't know how to manage your money. And the fact that you're coming to me means I do know how to manage my money. Now, it puts me in an uncomfortable position because why do I want to give you more money if you can't manage what you've currently got? Because if you could manage what you've currently got, you wouldn't be in the situation that you're in. And that now puts our dynamics in a very difficult situation because in the back of my mind, I know there's a high probability I'm not going to get my money back. Mm. On the one hand, I want to help you because you're family and I want to be there for you. But now I'm caught in a corner because how do I know that I'm going to actually be able to get my money back? And then it's going to cause resentment. And then it's going to be as if I'm now the parent and I have to babysit you and say to you, great, what's going on? Where's my money? Why haven't you done this? Why haven't you done this?
So it actually turns it into a parent-child relationship in a way.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. So that's exactly the point I was building up to. Mm. That's exactly what it does. And people don't want that. Do you know what I'm saying? If we're family, we're family. We're supposed to be there to support each other, but in a very loving way where we're both equals, not where I must now babysit you because you don't want to take responsibility.
But why is it always about not taking responsibility? A person might have found themselves in a poor situation that's beyond their control. They worked for a company and they were retrenched or the company closed down and they're in a financially difficult situation. It's not always necessarily about somebody being – it might be about them being irresponsible, but it might also not be. So I think there's an assumption that you're making there that I don't know is always the case.
So I think that's a great point. I think though, using and putting that assumption aside is when we turn around and saying that people are coming to you to loan money, you know if somebody's gone through difficulty, you know they've gone through difficulty. It's a totally different picture. You want to go there because you're going to say, geez, this guy's given their all. They've been so responsible. They've done everything. They've just had bad luck. In that type of a situation, you want to be there for the person. You want to help them out. I'm referring to a situation where what's going to get your backup? What's going to affect the dynamics between me and you?
Right.
So a person that you know is responsible, that you know has just unfortunately had a bad turn of events.
Right.
You know there's a high probability that he's going to continue to be responsible, and he'll probably say to you, listen, this is when I'm going to be paying you back. This is how I'd like to pay you back. And if I can't, I'll let you know about it.
Mm.
The difference is from somebody else that isn't responsible, they sort of just don't address it. They'll say, yes, I'll pay you back. But they never really do because there aren't clear guidelines.
Ah.
And one of the ways, by the way.
So that's probably one of the points you'll get to is if it is going to happen, then have guidelines.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. Mm. Thanks, Howard. That's exactly what I was getting to. That's why I said you're a genius.
Yeah,
you're taking the
word
literally out of my mouth.
Yeah, I heard it a bit earlier. Mm.
So I find that the most important thing is that you have to have a contract, because a contract brings you both into a point of equilibrium where you're turning around and you're setting out the clear guidelines. You know what the expectations are. You know what the deliverables are. And at both particular points in time, if somebody's not delivering, it makes it clear that there isn't that desire to pay you back the way they need to. And I think what's also important is when you're lending money to families that you also have to be able to let go on the one hand. because you need to understand that this dynamic is way too complicated to turn around and say, geez, I expect my money even though we've got a contract. And I feel that when you're lending money to a family member, lend enough that it's not going to hurt you too much, but lend enough that you also feel that it can be defined as a tzedakah or charity.
So that in other words, if you never get it back, you're right, if you don't get it back, in some way, you've already made an allowance for not getting it back.
Correct. But you've covered yourself on all the ground. You've made sure that you've put a contract in place. You've done this, but you've also let it go. And therefore, the levels of resentment aren't going to be that big. And at the same time, when you meet the person the next time, you're not going to be filled with complete anger and saying, oh, geez, I can't wait to get my vengeance back on you one day, and you stole from me and you this and you that. It's too complicated. You have to see each other because you're related to each other.
Yeah. Interesting. Carol Z asking, is signing surety on a bank maybe an alternative option or a good option?
Well, I suppose it depends on how big the loan is. Like if it's going to be 100 or 300,000. Firstly, I'm not sure that that's actually healthy to even lend family that much money. But looking at from a surety on the bank, definitely you could look at doing that. I would recommend that you don't lend more than maximum probably 15 to 20,000 rand maximum.
I guess the surety thing, the advantage of the surety thing is you not managing the process. You know, the whole process, you're there to give support, but you're not managing the repayments and the debt at all. The bank or the organization or, you know, whether it's a Rambam Trust or whoever it is that you're signing surety to, is managing that process. You're just standing behind the person in a way.
Yes, but you do need to understand if that debt doesn't get paid, you have to pay
back. Yes, they're coming to you, of course.
So I know many people, unfortunately, that have actually had to pay those debt backs because other people haven't paid them back.
Wow, okay.
So it's not that simple and that clear.
Right,
and it puts it again into a more complicated situation. I personally don't like to sign surety. Just because I don't know if a person's going to actually be able to pay that back, that loan back or not. And for that reason, I've said, I don't want to because it's too much of a gray line. Not because I don't want to be there for that person, but because I just don't know the fact that they've got themselves into a situation. Like I've got a friend that recently called me and he said to me, listen, I've buried my hand in the sand for quite a while. I've now got 800,000 rands worth of debt. How do we try and get out of it?
Right.
So the one thing I said to him is, okay, well, let's start looking at your current debt. Maybe we can add more money to your home loan. We can take a second bond and we can try and reduce it. Keeping in mind that there's all these different scenarios. And I said, potentially you can go to the Rambam Trust. And he said, well, I actually can't because I need to get people to sign surety. And I thought about it. I said, well, maybe I should sign. But on the other hand, he has this person that's living beyond his means. He is finally taking action and doing something about it. But who says in the next year or 2 years, he's not going to be back in that exact same situation? I would far rather send somebody on a course on how to budget and how to find ways to reorganize your debt than to rather give a loan, because that's also empowering people with knowledge.
Yeah, that is interesting.
I think. Yeah.
It's just to add a complexity to it. A number of years ago, somebody that I was fairly close to came to me, to ask me to assist with his business and invest in his business, or a new business. And I looked at the business and I didn't like it at all. It just didn't do it for me. And I found that it was a difficult position that I was in because I wanted to be there to support this guy to follow his dreams. But on the other hand, I didn't want to put life into a business through money that I didn't think or that I didn't really believe in. I felt that, number one, it would send the wrong message to other people saying that I believed in this business. I'm also, you know, committing to it. Therefore, and I just didn't believe in the business. So what I did instead was I said, I support you and I'm prepared to put that money aside for you to follow your dream, but I don't, as a loan, but I don't want to invest it in your business because I'm not convinced that this is a business that it isn't a business. If another person who wasn't close to me came to me, I wouldn't invest in this business at all. I wouldn't even think about it. But because it's you, I want you to be able to fulfill your dreams, but I have to find another way to do it. And it was just a different way of doing the same thing. But I thought the message is important. And I guess what I'm saying with all of this, and I think it's what you're saying as well, is the message is important. Maybe put that money rather into helping that person become more educated about finance. Maybe assist in different ways other than thinking that just because they've asked for funds, that that's what you have to give.
Exactly. So exactly. So not only that is that, and we can use the example of starting a business, is that you've been in business, so you understand the complexities of it. Mm. Is that you have good days, bad days. It can be a complete roller coaster all the time. Mm. And many people, unfortunately, don't have that understanding, nor do they have the staying power. You know, it sounds like a great idea, and that's what they think is going to automatically bring people. They don't understand the sales process, etc. And it's not putting people down. Mm. But what I sometimes suggest is to say to people, rather stay employed or help somebody get employed. And you can start this business part-time. Build it up to the point where it can actually support you, and then you can go and start or leave your current employment. And the reason for that, it just takes a lot of stress off everybody's shoulders. And for you to loan somebody money to start a business that doesn't necessarily understand how to run that business, in the end is a probability that you're going to end up losing that money. I think the stats are, if I'm not wrong, 95% of businesses fail within the first 5 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll have to just confirm that stat, but I mean, it's quite a high stat.
Yeah, it's fascinating. So in the 2 minutes that we have left, give us your approach.
So my approach is that you always have to have rachamim. You always have to have compassion. Always, no matter what. And whether that sometimes means lending an ear and just being there for a person and following up and seeing how they're doing, definitely. If you're going to lend money, no problem. But just cap how much you're going to lend. So say, great, well, my cap in my life is I'm not going to lend more than 20,000 rand per month. And then you've got to view it as the loan is that either you're going to give it in the form of charity, knowing that you might not really get it back, mm-hmm. or make sure that you've got a contract in place so that at least you feel that the fundamentals are in place so that your relationship isn't one of a parent versus a child that you have to constantly follow up. And in that contract, make sure that the deliverables in terms of repayments are very clear. And then most importantly is help people get educated, because somewhere along the line, either they've had bad muzzle or they haven't done things the way they're supposed to. And try and help them as much as possible to not repeat the situation that they're currently in.
Absolutely sensible. It is 8:30. Liron Mazur, I'm going to let you go back to your origami. I appreciate you taking the time to speak to us. It is 8:30.